This morning, I could tell you that as I was thinking about a lesson to prepare to start off the gospel meeting, once again, usually the preacher's already here and he's already starting off the gospel meeting, but a little bit different. So I figured, hey, why not take this opportunity and look at some of the things in our songs that we sing so many times. And apply these things, of course, as they are scripture-based. And realize we are told to go. And we're going to see some examples as we go through this lesson about those that were told to go. And ask ourselves, you know, is it any different for us today? Especially as we go, we have this endeavor that's come forward this week as we have made preparations for it, hopefully, as we have already started inviting people. You know, that shows how much we love the gospel. That shows how much importance we put on the gospel and how much love we have for our fellow mankind, that we want to see them also go to the place that we have prepared for us as disciples of His. And so that term or that word go is found throughout the scriptures. It's found throughout it, and it's very interesting to find. And the first place I would go to, just for example, is Jonah chapter 1. And we'll see some examples of those who, the way they dealt with that word go. You know, when they were told to go, here's a prime example of one who had a little difficulty, right? In Jonah chapter 1 in verses 1 through 3, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish from what? The presence of the Lord. This was one that always, you know, we learn from when we're little. And we learn about, you know, the great fish that swallowed Jonah. You know, why did all these events have to transpire? Why did these things take place in Jonah's life? Because he decided not to go when he was told to. And I find it so interesting that here it is, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and told him specifically what he needed to do. Obviously, he had some problems with it, didn't he? Because obviously he's running away from God. He had problems with the Ninevites, didn't he? I mean, obviously they were not a good people. But God was telling him to go and preach the word. Teach them something. And I think about a lot of the brethren all over this world, all over this globe, that teach in places that are, you know, once again, They're hideous places. You know, we have people today that have disdain for the truth, you know. But I'm talking about the people over in those, I say, third world countries. I'm talking about they'll kill you over it. We're talking about hatred here. But yet you have those individuals, they realize they have a command to go, and they do it. Do you admire people like that? I do. If we were in the same situation, in the same circumstances as they are in those countries, would we still go? Would we still teach? Would we still live as a Christian, as a disciple? Jonah had problems. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to do it. But yet he was told to go. And we remember the story and the account and how it goes. And even after they responded to the message that Jonah had, Jonah still had problems with it, didn't he? He was kind of hoping for their destruction, wasn't he? Do we feel that way? Because a lot of that shows, if I'm not inviting people this week, that really do I care what happens to them? Or there's somebody that has erred from the way that we want to reach out to and say, here's an opportunity, let's seize it. We should be doing that anyways, but we have a whole week. A lot of times say, well, I can't make it on Sunday, and I can't make it on Sunday night, and I can't make it on Wednesday night. You got Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, friend. There's plenty of opportunities to come. Let's do it. And that brings us to our first song, 351 in your song books, 351. Once again, as we do this sermon and song, like I said, look at the words again and put that in your mind. Even at the top of the song, you notice the verse, and the first word that says in that verse under Will You Not Tell Today, go, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Has the Lord done great things for you? He's done great things for me, I know. Do I want to share that? Or am I like Jonah? 351. Maybe will lead us in that first song.
It's in all three verses. 351. If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if His care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, Savior has brought its reward. If a strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, if a hope of a rest in His palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it?
Tell me that song doesn't speak volumes to what we're talking about. How much have we said about the gospel? How much have we lived the gospel in the last week? How many of us are going? Actively going, like that song is telling us to. What are we telling? Well, Jonah is one of those examples, but I bring to mind another one. And that's, of course, 2 Kings chapter 5. And this is one that many times I stand amazed every time I read it. Now, me and Kendi was discussing this as I was studying the lesson. And when you go to 2 Kings chapter 5, you know, we talk about this individual Naaman. And a lot of times we focus in on things of, okay, you know, he dipped in the seven times in the dirty Jordan. He didn't want to do what he was told to do, you know, and a lot of times we focus in on that, but, and I find myself guilty of that, because I just focus in on that one part. But there is something else that strikes me again here when I read it completely, and see if you catch it. Now, Naaman, a commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Here it is. Verse 3, then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Continue on from there. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. Continue on verse 7. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was, here's the next part, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Continue on verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean. We remember this is the part we talk about all the time. Oh, well, Naaman became mad. He was furious. He went away and said, indeed, I said it myself. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He had his own ideas, didn't he? Verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went away in a rage, and his servants came near and spoke to him, saying, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? See, a lot of times we take that right there and we say, well, there's a lot of people today that have that problem about going and being baptized. A lot of people have problems with the word. So we focus in on that as well, don't we? Verses 14 and 15. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Was God making a point? Absolutely. Do you know who God used to make such a realization, an acknowledgement of the Most High God? He used a young servant. Someone who was being held captive. She was a slave herself. I can't tell you how many times I overlook that, and it blew me away. I was telling Kenzie, I'm like, why do I overlook that so much when I'm focused in on the last few verses of this account? And it bothered me. Because she was an instrument in this, wasn't she? She was like, only if my master. Did she have a desire for him to be cleaned of leprosy? Although she was captive, obviously. She did. She had, now let's use the word compassion. Do you think that's appropriate to use there? I think so. She had compassion here. And look here. Elisha said, let him come so he may see what? That there is a prophet. And not just any prophet. We know there's a lot of false prophets in that time, but we're talking about a prophet of God. And he was going to proclaim the things of God. It's very interesting, though, that Elisha sent forth his what? Messenger. There's a lot of messengers in this account, isn't there? And look what it brought about. Look at the result of this. Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. People by God. I want you to think about that as we sing our handout, Healing in Its Wings. I think about myself because you look back to this account, you have sought me, haven't you? Yet I turn away from all your loving care. I look at Naaman and I see him there. Elisha, God, through Elisha, sought Naaman, didn't he? Yet when he was told, what happened? Naaman turned away from the loving care of being healed. You know, we sometimes do that ourselves as Christians. So often do I fall, yet you reach out again. God is constantly on the move. He's constantly going. I need to be going too. I need to see myself in these examples. And you'll see that as we sing this song and put the application there with what we're talking about here. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Nathan will lead us in this song at this time.
Healing in its wings. We'll sing all three verses.
Do mi, so mi.
You see those words there again. Oh, may I ever strive to live pure in your sight, filled with your goodness, free to glorify and honor you. If you found that healing in his wings, if you found that, why aren't we sharing it with others? It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. To do what? Exactly what the song says. Let God receive the glory. That glory, he should be glorified in all things. You think Naaman was very happy about his decision of obeying exactly what God said? Absolutely. I think so. Reminds me of the 10 lepers. Remember the one that only returned to thank him? Maybe we're that one. I hope we are that one that constantly thanks him for the healing that we've received. And that we want to go tell others about it as well. In Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to hit on some verses as we go through these Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4. Because we find another individual who was told to go. He had a little problem. And that's going to be Moses, of course. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. And of course, God gave him the instructions about where he was standing was holy ground, about removing the sandals from his feet. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know, the Lord had a plan for him, because he said, I have surely seen the oppression, in verse 7, of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. He heard the cry of his children. And as we know, as it unfolds from Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4, that he had a plan, and Moses was going to be the instrument in which he was going to carry that plan out. God always used individuals to carry out his will. You see it. Is it any different today? No. Because the last time I checked, it says go still today. It still tells us to do something. I'm not supposed to be living for myself. We get caught up in our society. This is a very easy thing to do in our land. But Moses, everything stopped for him. Everything. And Moses tried to excuse himself. He said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Have you ever asked yourself that question? We're told to go, and yet here I am. Who am I? Who am I? I've asked that question myself in my life, because when I started preaching, I was 18, well, 17 actually. I was doing fill-in work in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and you know, everywhere else. Who am I to go and teach someone and preach the gospel to people who are so much older than me? Who am I to do that? Guess what? I'm still doing it. I'm 30. And I enjoy every minute of it. Is it exhausting from time to time? Could I make excuses? Why, you know, man, I really don't want to do this, and you know, or I just don't feel like I could, you know, hold up to this and or take care of this task that's here. There's a lot of times, you know, those human thoughts come out. But I go back and look at examples like we're looking at today. And God is a God of progress. He's about movement. He's like, go and do something. What am I doing with my life? Who am I? But then you get to verse 10 of Genesis of Exodus chapter 3. He said, I will certainly be with you. Have we forgot that thought? That God is with us? You know, we think if somebody's with us, they have to be where? Right beside us. Right? God is with us, he said. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. He goes on. You know, Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God told him, he said in verse 18, or verse 14, I am who I am. What an answer, right? Who do we represent today? Who do we tell God who God is? And of course, there's miraculous signs that was going to take place. And God gave him further instruction in Exodus chapter 4. Oh, my Lord, he says, I am not eloquent neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Excuse after excuse Moses gave of why I shouldn't go and why I shouldn't do this. Have we thought about any of that during the gospel meeting that's coming up, starting this evening? why I can't do certain things? Who, the Lord said, who has made man's mouth? Was a good, that's a question that God asked. Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I the Lord? Man, that's a, wow. Now therefore go, in verse 12, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. It kind of reminds me of what the disciples went through, the apostles. Remember? He sent the Holy Spirit to guide them into what? All truth. What do we have today to present? The truth. Does he give it to us to present? It's there. And right now, this week, all we have to do is what? Come and be with us, 7:30. Tonight, come be with us, 6 o'clock. Because Brother Bruce Reeves, Lord's willing, he's going to be standing here and he's going to impart what? Truth. All we have to do is be that servant girl, right? Oh, you go and listen to that. Come and be with us. Because I need it myself. I need it. And there's many other excuses that we can look at, but you see where I'm getting to. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. What you shall do. Shall do. There's some shalls for us today, isn't it? This is one of my songs that I just, boy, it hits home. It strikes at the heart. And I hope it strikes at your heart as well. When you think about what the Son of Man did. He did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. He made his life exactly the way God, his Father, wanted it to be. Are we doing that today? Are we doing that as well for this week in preparation? Nathan will lead us in this song at this time.
Servant song, we'll sing all three verses.
No.
Did you really see those words in that song? Did you see yourself about filled by your might, like we talked with Moses there? All my labors shine with your light. Show me your footsteps, what I should do for now and forever. Make me like you. I hope that's exactly the way we feel right now. I hope so. And of course, the last example I bring up is that of Abraham. And, you know, he's always one that fascinates me because he's told to get out. Get out of your country. You know, you've been told that. Go from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. All his familiar surroundings, you're just going to leave. You're going to go. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham could not see that far ahead, could he? He didn't exactly know how all that was going to go, each road that he took, every time he took a turn as he journeyed upon this land. But Abraham still departed, didn't he? He left. He went as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I think that's also an interesting thing. I know they lived a long time then, but 75 years old, and he's told to do what? Go. All these familiar surroundings he's had for 75 years. I only had 18 years of familiar surroundings in Burkeville, Texas, and I moved to Center, and I was lost. Imagine you're told, 75, go. I mean, it was to say, I'm going. I'm moving on. Talk about a man of faith. Here's one right here. Moved. He moved. This is one that truly said, I am thine, O Lord. This is one who said it, but not just said it, but he did it. His actions proved himself to be true. This is the man who says in the book of Hebrews, recorded that he was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was who? God. You look at that song 105 we're about to sing, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard what? Thy voice. Have we heard that same voice? Maybe he's going to lead us, or no, Bruce is going to lead us in that song at this time. I am thine, O Lord.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it's all I long to be. For I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee.
That song speaks volumes as well. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. Depths of love that I cannot know. Abraham didn't realize all of the things till he got there. He saw it piece by piece. I hope that we see that as well. And those that will be blessed through us. There was a blessing through Abraham. Will there be blessing through us? I hope so. Only if we say, I am thine, O Lord, if we're always listening to His voice and doing His will. An example for all to understand what happened in each of these cases that we have talked about when God commanded these individuals to go. The Lord has given us another day. Here are more opportunities. I want you to look back over the years and say, have I really wasted my time upon this earth? Have I really tried to reach out? Have I tried to help someone along the way? Have I done something in His service? You know, there's a lot of people today that says it's the preacher's job to do that. No. It's not the preacher's job to do just that. It's everyone's job. It's everyone's responsibility. Here's a sense in which we have been given instructions to go as well today. I look at the verse, of course, we know that this great commission was given specifically to the apostles, weren't it? However, this shows God's interest in having all souls to be saved. Actions that are required from us as well, just like them. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You know, and Jesus gave that command, and they took it seriously. Because you find those, just like in Acts 8 and verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And this was in the midst of severe persecution and oppression. And you know who was mentioned at the beginning of Acts chapter 8? It was Saul of Tarsus. He was looking to get letters. He's wanting to go, and he's wanting to persecute even more. And although they were scattered, although they had all this going on, what did they do? They still went and they preached. These are people to be admired. Admired. The early Christians saw the need to spread the good news, even if it meant their life would be taken. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, another verse, Paul tells Timothy, and the things you have heard from me before many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to do what with it? Teach others also. You know, we find that we have a time of generations that do not know the Word of God. Is that scary? They think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. What is going on today in our society when they don't know the Bible? The key elements of it. Some of the simple things. It's very clear in the Word of God what we're supposed to be doing. If you consider that there are now probably over, I think it was estimated 5 billion people on this earth. Ask yourself, how many are Christians? How many are Christians? Now, I mean, there's a lot of people that use the word Christian, right? I'm talking about Christians, disciples of Christ, true believers, as he says in the scriptures. Some of the more obscure nations that we talk about, who will go and teach them? Who will teach those around us in our local area? Why not you? Why not me? Who will teach them? I asked the question, what is our response to the directive, go? We saw some of those in the examples, right? We saw Jonah, we saw all of them. And you see them in my list here. We can be like Jonah. We can avoid it. Simply not do our part. We can make excuses. You see all that in the examples, right? We can decide, you know, our part in regard to teaching, you know, substitute spreading the gospel with another function that appeals more to us. We can substitute the pure word of God with ideas, doctrines of men. That happens a lot today. Excuses. You know, someone else is better. Someone, you know, I'm too busy. Someone else could be more able. There are always others that we can point to who may be better equipped. But does that relieve me from doing my part? No. Are we busy? Yes, we are. Busy. But we have to keep our perspective. What will matter 100 years from now? What will matter? Think about this song, 598. One that we don't sing a whole lot, but I think it's definitely appropriate for this time. 598, "You never mentioned him to me."
Three verses in the chorus left.
When is the better land before the Lord we stand? How deep his holy souls may be. If any lost one there should
take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Well, we had our list there, avoiding, simply not doing our part, making excuses, but we also had that fourth one as we get close to the close of the lesson. Simply obey. Jonah went through a lot to finally understand something. So did Moses. Abraham was on cue. Not everyone has the same abilities, but everyone can do something to further the gospel. Do you believe that? I do. And I hope you do too. Suggestion this week is to decide that this week, invite someone to one of our services. I said, we have plenty of opportunity. It's on them after that. Right? I've done my part. I've invited. Maybe a Bible study. I ask the question, is there anyone who cannot do this? Simply ask. I was always told by the preachers I grew up with, the only thing they can tell you is no, or not come. I believe this is a fitting song for this as well. 620. Do you find yourself in this song? Nathan, lead us in this song.
God's kingdom, we'll sing all three verses.
No soul me, no me. There is room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do.
cheer, another is the work God has planned for you. There is room, there's a place in the kingdom of God for you. There is room, there's a place, there is work that we all can do. Just a cup of cold water in His name, given me the hope and some heart renewed. Do not wait to be told, nor by sorrow driven to the word God has planned for you. There is room, there's a place in the kingdom of God for you. There is room, there's a place, there is work that we all can do. There's a place in the service of God for workers who are loyal to Him and true. Shirkers and the work Thou hast planned I'll do. There is room, there's a place in the kingdom of God for you. There is room, there's a place, there is work that we all can do.
I hope that's exactly what we're doing. I hope we have left the shirkers. And I hope that we're doing something to renew someone's heart. I hope that's what we're doing. I hope this lesson has been beneficial and has been encouraging and edifying, because, once again, as I tell you over and over again, I need these sermons more than anybody else, because I have a busy life and I get caught up in things. I need to be reminded what God told me to do. Go. And so, as I remind myself, we remind ourselves from the scriptures and these songs what God wants us to be doing. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I ask, as you get your songs ready for the song of encouragement, 395. And we'll be looking at a beautiful life. A beautiful life. And I think that this speaks a lot to us today, because it says, "Let us do good to all men." Let me tell you something about doing good. If you're going to be doing good, you're going to be concerned about heaven and how many people you can take with you. How many of us say that this song represents our lives today? If all the things we have sang about, if it's not matching up, maybe we have never mentioned Him. Maybe we have done things that we shouldn't have. Maybe we have been shirking as Christians. Here's our opportunity to lead a beautiful life. If we have not put on the body of Christ in baptism, then we're not leading a beautiful life. There's room in God's kingdom, and He's wanting more people, quality people, to be that child, to let their light shine, to sing praises, to strive to help, to teach His word. If we're subject in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?
Each day I'll do good unto thee, by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can.
That I have done,
where there will be
no setting sun.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn crown proud, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget
Heavenly Father, as we humbly bow before your throne, as we gather around this table in remembrance to thy love and the gift of thy life of thy Son, Heavenly Father, as we partake of this bread, which the true Christians represent, the body of Christ, Heavenly Father, that is in the flesh, Heavenly Father, he did thy will, Heavenly Father, as he lived here upon this earth and lived an example for us to follow. And as we partake of this bread, Heavenly Father, may we also be determined in our minds, Heavenly Father, that your will always be done in our life as we walk here upon this earth. May we take this bread with a clean hand and a clean heart, as we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we continue our thank for this cup, this fruit of the vine, which to us as Christians represents the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was shed upon that cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. Pray, dear Father, as we partake of this, we do so in a manner that's well-pleasing unto thee. Give us my sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we also have the command to lay by in store on the first day of the week. In order to prepare our minds for this, let us turn to song number 372. 372. Sing the first and last verses.
We plow the fields for sowing the good seed on the land, but
our loving Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before your throne. We're so grateful and thankful for all that you've blessed us with, not only in the past week, Heavenly Father, but within our lives. And Heavenly Father, as we look around us, we truly can see, if we open our eyes, that there are others living their life without thee, Heavenly Father, that are truly in need. And Heavenly Father, it may be that we can take that opportunity to speak of you, lead them to you, Heavenly Father, that we might spread the word, that it might prick their heart, Heavenly Father. There are so many ways in which we can give back to thee, Heavenly Father, but as we do so now with these monies, we pray that these monies will be wisely used in the furtherance of the gospel here in Waukegan. Heavenly Father, be with us now. May we give with a cheerful heart, as we pray in Christ's name.
stand. Closing song this morning will be, Lord, Send Me. Of course, it goes exactly with what we've been talking about in this sermon and song. Appreciate the patience and, of course, the participation of the men who helped in leading the songs. And, of course, always the men who wait upon the Lord's Supper, Lord's table. And, of course, each of you who participated in the song service and this sermon this morning. Lord's willing, once again, be back at 6 o'clock. Let's bring somebody with us. We have plenty of things happening this week. Let's do our part as the sermon is what we're talking about. Lord's willing, Bruce Reeves will be here at 6 o'clock. If not, Bruce James will be, or Brother Barron, or somebody. Somebody's going to be here. I'll say I've done my part today. So that goes against exactly what I just taught, right?
Yep.
Exactly.
Sure.
But once again, thank you. I thank you for being here this morning. And of course, let's try to spread the word this week. And is there any announcements other than what we had this morning so far? Peggy's grandmother. So remember her is also on the list there. If there's nothing else this time, we'll have our closing song, Lord Send Me, and then we'll be dismissed.
Lord Send Me, we'll sing the first and last verse.
There is much to do, there is work on every hand. Hark the cry from heaven, ringing through the land. Jesus calls for ring.